Hi, welcome to Jersey Mike's.
So how do shore points work?
As you can see, 6 regular number 13s plus 3 giant 7s equals a free regular number 13. But now, 8 number 13s, each plus a Pepsi and a Lay's, will also equal a free regular number 13. Or it could equal a regular free number 17 if you want.
Uh-huh, okay.
So Pepsi and Lay's now earn you more points towards free subs. It's simple math, really.
That adds up.
Exactly. Download the Jersey Mike's app and earn rewards toward free subs with every Pepsi, Lay's, and sub you purchase.
Donate and listen to the podcast at WRWL.org.
All right, we're back. And we're going to just step away for just a minute here. A number of people have called wanting to know. The other night we were talking about how the CDC and Pfizer, here after... after how many, Joe, was it 4,000 service people now have are being thrown out of the military because they won't take...
60,000, 40,000 in the Guard and 22,000 active reservists.
And so we were talking about that, and I mentioned the fact that both Pfizer and the CDC, their employees were exempted. The employees of Pfizer and the CDC were exempted, and people were calling me and asking me, where did I get that? Well, it's right up on their website. It's right on their website, the CDC website. But now, I'm going to play a little of a clip here. It's a very short clip by, well, that little Facebook fella, Zuckerberg. And listen to because remember, on Facebook, if you discourage people and you told people, not to take the kill shot, you got pulled off. We got knocked off of YouTube. Was it Twitter? It took them 15 seconds to take me down from Twitter. And so here, go ahead and play that clip, and we're going to get back to Dr. William Grady.
Facebook CEO Mark Zuckerberg has been caught blasting the COVID-19 jabs to his inner circle, describing them as experimental and warning his staff to be very cautious about the unproven gene technology. Regardless of how you feel about vaccines, this leaked footage from Facebook headquarters is very relevant. Anybody saying on Facebook what Zuckerberg says in this video would be immediately censored, cancelled, and deplatformed. Watch this.
But I do just want to make sure that I share some caution on this because we just don't know the long-term side effects of basically modifying people's DNA and RNA to directly encode in a person's DNA and RNA, basically the ability to produce... those antibodies and whether that causes other mutations or other risks downstream.
It's yet another case of one rule for thee and another for me that the elite use to control the masses. While Zuckerberg felt compelled to warn his nearest and dearest about the potential dangers of the experimental gene therapy, ordinary people like you and me were not allowed to express any doubt about the vaccines on social media without paying the price. Freedom of speech has been throttled on Facebook and the other social media platforms in recent years. During the height of the vaccination drive, our right to freedom of speech was trampled on by the mainstream media and fact-checkers acting on behalf of Big Pharma to instill fear in the masses. Simply speaking out and raising genuine concerns, truth-tellers in our society have been punished and deplatformed. Robert F. Kennedy Jr. emerged as one of the most influential voices during the early days of the pandemic, raising awareness about Bill Gates and Big Pharma. Kennedy Jr., who describes himself as a vaccine safety advocate, isn't impressed with the Microsoft founder's track record of pushing vaccines on vulnerable populations and in some cases causing serious health problems. But exposing Gates on social media was too much for Zuckerberg and the free speech gatekeepers. They censored Kennedy Jr. and finally banned him from Instagram for speaking out about vaccine safety, much to the delight of the mainstream media. Kennedy Jr. wasn't the only one. Joe Rogan endured a year from hell. The mainstream media and fact-checkers came after him, employing numerous smear tactics, each one more cynical than the last, in an effort to destroy his career. His crime? Simply inviting experts from different walks of life onto his podcast and daring to ask them honest questions about the vaccines.
I wanted to make this video, first of all, because I think there's a lot of people that have a distorted perception of what I do, maybe based on sound bites or based on headlines of articles that are disparaging. The podcast has been accused of spreading dangerous misinformation, specifically about two episodes, a little bit about some other ones, but specifically about two. One with Dr. Peter McCullough and one with Dr. Robert Malone. Dr. Peter McCullough is a cardiologist, and he is the most published physician in his field in history. Dr. Robert Malone owns 9 patents on the creation of mRNA vaccine technology and is at least partially responsible for the creation of the technology that led to mRNA vaccines. Both these people are very highly credentialed, very intelligent, very accomplished people, and they have an opinion that's different from the mainstream narrative. I wanted to hear what their opinion is. I had them on, and because of that, those episodes in particular, those episodes were labeled as being dangerous. They had dangerous misinformation in them. The problem I have with the term misinformation, especially today, is that many of the things that we thought of as misinformation just a short while ago are now accepted as fact. Like, for instance, 8 months ago, if you said, if you get vaccinated, you can still catch COVID and you can still spread COVID, you would be removed from social media. They would ban you from certain platforms. Now, that's accepted as fact. If you said, I don't think cloth masks work, you would be banned from social media. Now, that's openly and repeatedly stated on CNN. If you said, I think it's possible that COVID-19 came from a lab, you'd be banned from many social media platforms. Now, that's on the cover of Newsweek. All of those theories that at one point in time were banned were openly discussed by those two men that I had on my podcast that have been accused of dangerous misinformation.
Kennedy Jr. and Rogan are just the tip of the iceberg. Millions upon millions of ordinary people have had their voices taken away from them by the unholy trinity of big tech, big pharma, and the mainstream media. You may know one of these people. You may be one of these people yourself. If you have had your voice silenced by social media overlords, do not despair. There are too many of us to hold back. The global elite won't be able to silence all of us forever. As George Orwell said, in a time of universal deceit, telling the truth is a revolutionary act. We must continue to stand together and support those who dare to ask questions and speak the truth.
Alrighty, going back to that, because in your book, you write quite a bit about COVID. Now, we played Dr. Malone here, Robert Malone, on this program, who invented the mRNA, and he said it's a bioweapon. He said it's don't take it. It could kill you. He said it's a bioweapon. He invented that thing for the military. Now, we know that, and what's happening, Bill Gates recently just came out just recently and admitted what we've been telling people since the 1980s. Since the 1980s, we've been telling people about the global depopulation program that they had. And we've been telling the whole, and all the different ways. I've said in their meetings, Brother O'Grady, I've said in their meetings with Planned Parenthood, Sierra Club, the World Health Organization, the ACLU, where they didn't know who I was. And they would openly speak about different ways of depopulating the planet, openly. And they would talk about things like when in Africa, where here they use that papillomavirus virus, and they were talking about how 8 times as many young girls died from the vaccine than died from the human papillomavirus. And they cheered this. They applauded this fact that these young people had died. And here, of course, what we call the Democratic Party today or the Antichrist world system, the death culture, they're all about death. I mean, that's all they're about is death, okay? And so we expose, that's our job to expose this to be that. Like you said, that's salt and light. And so here I'm surprised.
Jacques Cousteau and his statements about how many people had to be removed from the earth to make it healthy. I remember we were about the only ones talking about that. Everybody else just kind of ignored those things that he said and talked about everything else, but his lines and statements about how, you know, people had to depopulate.
Well, he was a major icon. He was one of the great philanthropists who said, remember what his famous statement was, this: when it comes to solving the world hunger program, we have to consider what nature has taught us. The strong, okay, live off of the weak. And right. And he says, we have to consider that people are a great source of protein. In other words, he was promoting cannibalism.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So what do you think about that, Bill?
I think you're totally right. I have a lot in my book on both of these gentlemen that you mentioned, and especially Dr. Malone. I just stood at the Georgia Guidestones 2 months ago on my own, traveling across Georgia. You know, nothing there, no gatekeeper. I think they may have cameras now. But just out in the middle of nowhere. And I'm pretty glad it was probably some Georgia redneck that decided to blow that thing up. I think that's...
Well, you know what? There was something about that, because somebody said that they had... They saw what happened, and it wasn't blown. It was lightning. It was hit by lightning. That was there was a story out there. Somebody said they witnessed lightning hit that, and that would be appropriate, wouldn't it?
It would, and really, to tie in your topics tonight, the bottom line is that Jesus actually prophesied that genetic manipulation be a sign of his return, as the days of Noah were, so also shall the Son of Man.
Well, yeah, that's exactly what I just preached on, because with the vax or the kill shots, they change, and here they change your DNA, and here now some of the Pfizer, there was actually talked about, since they own the patents on this, and the people have their DNA changed, where they're no longer human. Are they the property of Big Pharma?
Well, the Lord said you're not your own; you're bought with a price. So they're trying to just like the modern Bibles, Pastor Sanders, that all have copyrights in them. They've stolen what was originally the pure Word of God, and now they prove that with a copyright. Thomas Nelson and Zondervan and all the other Christian publishers, where, you know, you and I can print a King James Bible and handwrite it out and sell them and do anything we want. There's no copyright on it.
Bill, for years and years, I was on the street for 45 years out there preaching at those bloody abortion mills. Yeah. And in that time, I was arrested numerous times for preaching the gospel. We beat them every time. Every time we went to court. In fact, they tried to RICO me. They tried to use racketeering charges against me three different occasions, and they threw them out, the charges out, because, in other words, they had to prove that I was making money and taking it away from their ability to make money off killing babies. And, of course, I was losing money going out there, you know, and they wanted to try to keep me in court all the time. But here's the thing. When I went in there, you know, you can defend yourself. If I was the only one that was charged, I could defend myself in my own venue. And I did that. I used the King. Now, my lawyers were there, but they were there just as advisors. And I used the King James Bible to defend myself. And when they asked you, what sovereign nation has declared that as their book of law, I would tell them, you know, King James of England. And so here, it's the only book, in other words, even the courts and most countries recognized the King James Bible as the actual true Bible. And now, in that case, if there was somebody more than just me charged with the same crime with me, I couldn't use that, because if you tried to do that for some strange reason, which I still don't know, they would say that I was practicing law without a license. And so, but, you know, I taught law, but I taught biblical law, real law, which is law, okay, what is lawful, not legal. And so, yeah, that the only King James Bible is the only, I hate to say version, but it is, God didn't give us 100 different Bibles. He gave us one. And it's the only one that I could use right there to defend myself. And even in the Holy Spirit
sure gave those translators the right words to describe 2,000 years later what you and I are dealing with in Romans 1:30 when Paul wrote about inventors of evil things.
Absolutely. And, you know, you often hear people say how the Constitution is a living, breathing document. It's not. But God's Word, the Bible, is. It is. Because we are seeing things in the Word of God that's being revealed to us today, even though it's been there 2,000 years, being revealed to us today that we maybe saw years ago but didn't quite understand. Now we see how the Word of God is opening up with current events, what's taking place, and now we say, hey, you know what? That's what he was talking about, huh?
Well, you know, there's a video that's going viral within the last few days. I don't know if you saw it. Some Ukrainian pianist, I guess, is playing a piano amidst some wreckage of a Russian wreckage from the war somewhere. And he's playing a song called about Zelensky that says, the title of the song is, Could One Man Save the World? And, you know, how in the first century, the Christians thought maybe Nero would be the Antichrist. And when I was first saved 48 years ago, they were talking about Henry Kissinger. You know, every generation has to have people in the wings that could be the Antichrist. When you start making dogmatic statements, that's not too wise. But there's always going to have to be candidates. Here's Mr. Zelensky, who is Jewish. He's got a wife and two children, but he just had a video surface. I just put this on my website today, of a 2014 video. You may have heard of it, when he's dancing a choreographed move, dance troupe with all these homosexuals. He's got high heel shoes on, midriff jacket, and tight leather pants. And he's just, you know, gyrating around with a bunch of fornicating sodomites. And he's very, you know, he's the darling of the LGBTQ community. And he's Jewish. And he was a rising celebrity before the Ukrainian war. And now that he's basically a rock star. You know, he was elected 72% of the vote before the war ever broke out. And it's an odd thing, but this new video is just surfacing. Could One Man Save the Whole World? It's all about him. And that's the title of the song. It could be anybody. But
well, up to then, the best candidate I ever saw for it was Barack Obama, where his name is actually in Scripture. And we did that. In fact, so many things about him. The limousine that he had built for himself is called the Beast.
I have a photograph of that limousine in my book on Israel, sitting on an Israeli tow truck. And one of his men put the wrong gas, you know, the gas in a diesel engine, and they towed it away. I have a photograph of it.
Yeah, well, you know, just recently, you had that false witness, that woman that they brought up with what they call the Liars Club, or they call it the January 6th committee there, which is the biggest group of liars I think they ever put together at one place there in D.C. And anyhow, she got out and she was talking about how Trump was sitting in the back seat of the Beast, and he reached up and he tried to grab the steering wheel. And yeah, I mean, he must have some very long arms. And
Well, you have 2 Timothy, you know, 3 gives you 20 signs to look for the last days. The 15th sign is traitors, but I think the 12th sign says false accusers. If you haven't seen those two things, you've been wearing a blindfold.
Yeah, you know, I mean, I could not believe the lying. I watched some of that, the lying that took place in that so-called committee. And that's going to get out. You know, it'll all come out. They're all going to get caught up in all of their lies. It's the unbelievable, the lying that's still taking place in there. In fact, here's an article here. Breaking. This is the January 6th committee cancels this hearing that's supposed to take place on Thursday after Steve Bannon says he will only testify live and in person and after release of the explosive TGP report. And so this is a part of that coming out here. So much of that, you know, the FBI was involved in that up to their eyeballs in that whole January 6th thing. That was a false flag operation from the day one. And, you know, we no longer have an independent FBI. It hasn't been. Actually, since Obama was in it, he started changing. For 8 years, William, Joe and I would tell people, do you see what he's doing now? When Obama was in office, as he was purging four-star generals, 11 four-star generals from the military, as he was replacing flag officers with bootlickers. And, of course, we have Austin and Milley in there.
Yeah. Brother Sanders, if I can tell you quickly, my favorite story in the entire new book, if I don't get it out, you see somebody will miss a blessing. It's just too bizarre. But I have a connection to Joe Biden and his wife. But, you know, you couldn't make this kind of crazy stuff up. Get a quick version of it. In 1972, a man opened up a nightclub in Newark, Delaware. It was called, he and his wife, co-owners, and it was called the Stone Balloon Ale House. I have a photograph of that bar in my new book. And it became one of the top college bars in the entire country. Rolling Stone magazine voted it the nation's best-kept secret. Ray Charles was playing there all the time. Allman Brothers, Bruce Springsteen practically lived there, they claimed, you know. And when they opened that up in June of 1972, I was 19 years old working for Brandywine Cash Register Company in Wilmington, Delaware. And as the Lord worked things out, I was an unsafe Catholic back then, I sold the cash registers to Bill Stevenson and his wife, the owners of that night. And I made so much commission, I went to Europe for 4 weeks with my boss after the sale. It was a big deal. But long story short, that owner and his wife were known as Bill and Jill. Bill and Jill, that's what they were called. And then 5 years later, it was Joe and Jill, as in Senator Joe Biden and then becoming Jill Biden. And Bill Stevenson, the owner of the club, and, you know, the first husband of the current first lady, so to speak. I mean, he's writing a book this year, if you Google it, a tell-all book on how Senator Biden and his wife at the time were playing behind his back and all hit the fan, you know, and she lost a lot of the equity in their divorce from that nightclub. But she was one of my customers, basically, in 1972 as the co-owner of that club. But the bottom line of the whole thing is, if you steal a man's wife, you'll steal an election. And once a crook, always a crook.
Amen. Yeah.
Amen. And, you know, anyone and everyone who says that election wasn't stolen is a liar and there wasn't a bit of truth in them. And we've seen it's just unbelievable how they were all in on this thing. They really feared Trump. Why do you think they feared Trump so much, Brother Grady?
Well, he was the first businessman to really run the country like a corporate executive, and that's why so much was done through 4 years of being opposed. I mean, the guy got impeached twice, and he still got all that activity done, and that basically showed up all the career politicians now. But, you know, I have a quote in my book. I have a picture of the first, so-called, you know, current first family, along with the second gentleman, the Jewish vice president's husband. The is every nation eventually gets the government that it deserves. I mean, I have a chapter in the book also called Fear Not, Little Flock. And, you know, when Christian people, your listeners, every time there's a new development of something insane going on in the country, you know, a lot of times they're getting fearful. And the reason is because they're thinking things are out of control. What are progressives going to do to us now? And so I have a little simple, you know, formula. When every time, I mean, right now you have children all across America's schools identifying as animals, furries. Some of them are identifying as insects. They want to be petted. There's all kinds of denials on the Internet from the authorities about this. But I just came through New York State preaching in 16 churches in the first 2 weeks of June. And there's all kinds of reports of litter boxes and potty pads, you know, in the bathrooms of these public schools for children identifying as animals. I was in a church in North Carolina last week, and a man told me he's a prison guard. They have to have bras and panties on hand for the men prisoners claiming they're women. But every time you hear something insane, taking the boys' urinals out of the bathrooms in certain states now, in the public schools, I tell my readers, just to say to yourself, boy, God must really be mad at this country. When you do that, that's therapy, because that basically forces you to realize that things are not out of control. It's the equivalent of 1 Thessalonians 5:18, in everything give thanks. You thank God for everything, which reminds you that he's involved with it. And it's not something that's out of control. I mean, when I preach on the street, I give them America's past, present, and future. Our past, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. Our present, righteousness exalteth a nation. Sin is a reproach to any people. And our future, the wicked shall be cast into hell and all nations that forget God. Things are radical on the schedule. And we should be excited about the conditions that we're looking at. We might miss the undertaker for the upper take.
Well, you know, what you just said is right, but Hosea 4:6 is, because you have forgotten my laws, I will forget your children. Right now, there's a fellow named Mike Haddock, and Mike Haddock has a corporation, a company, that builds caskets. And he was just saying tonight, well, he's up. In fact, he's on Stu Peter's program. I think we may play the clip of him tomorrow. That they're amazed that the casket orders are way up. I mean, they're way up. But he said the thing that's astonishing and frightening is that casket orders for children are up fivefold. They're five times higher than normal. Casket orders for children. And children, and again, we see them going after the children. Now, one good thing was that only 1.3% of the population have taken their children in. I'm talking about the little ones for the poisonous poke, for the kill shot. And at least that's good news. That's some good news there that some of the people, parents out there, are smart enough and care enough about the children not to give them the kill shot. They don't understand. The world is clueless. They don't understand that this whole thing, this whole depopulation program is in full swing right now, and they're all involved. They're all a part of it, and they're keeping it out. Even the very media, even in the media where a number of them have died, some right while they're on the air, because of the kill shots. You will not see any of that other than when it took place on the air. They know this, but they will follow their orders. The echo chamber, you know, they have a saying, if we all say the same thing at the same time, the people will believe us. And they repeat that, you know, and so they're in lockstep. They're in lockstep for this evil.
Brother Sanders, turning all that, putting all that together with all the UFO phenomenon that the government is beginning to acknowledge and leak out and spread around. Well, that'd be a depopulation. That'd be a pretty good explanation for the rapture of the church one day when all that population is gone, and the aliens had something to do with following the depopulation principles. That could be sold to a dumb nation overnight.
Well, they've already said that for the Antichrist, that before he comes, the Antichrist takes takes power over the planet, that he's going to remove all of the non-believers. And remember, they're referring to us as parasites. This is how the Antichrist globalist elites refer to us as parasites on the back of Mother Earth or Gaia, their god. But they've been saying that for years, that we're deplorables. We're coming up to a break here in a minute. And so how much time do I have there? I lost track.
Yeah, about a minute. Or you can take
it. Okay, well, listen, we'll be back right after this with more.
And now the end is near. If you're not saved, then you're hurting. It's him that you should fear. And that's the truth, I know for certain. He gave me life that's eternal. He kept me from going astray. He's God, and this I know, He did it His way. Regrets, He's had none, not even one that I can mention. He saved you and I. He brought us through without exemption. He planned each charted course, a guiding light along the pathway. For sure, not more or less, He did it His way. Throughout ancient times, I know it's true. There was never anything that He couldn't do. My faith in Him never was in a doubt. What He said, He carried out. All in all, as I recall, He did it His way. He lived, He suffered and died, but He arose in power and glory. In Him I now abide, for history is just His story. His word is where life's at. And may I say, not in a shy way, oh no, no, not me. He did it His way. For what is a man? What has he got? If not his Lord, then he has not. A broken heart, He can heal. And in His word, the truth revealed. His word shows what we all know. He did it His way. A broken heart, He can heal. And in His word, the truth revealed. His word shows what we all know. He did it His way.
He did it his way. He's doing it his way. And at the end of the day, God's going to get his way, folks, because that's the way he does it.
Yeah.
And here, again, I'm going to be talking about that because there are a lot of people that are worried. And you hear them saying, we're surrounded. They've got the FBI. They got the CIA. They got the NSA. They've got all of the media. They've got the entire AMA, the medical association, all the doctors, the hospitals. Now they've got all of the big business. They got the woke corporations. They're all against us. It doesn't matter. God is a majority of one, right? Has God ever lost a battle?
I've never heard of one of you.
I can't think of one.
The Bible could be true. You never know.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, all of these things. You know, you've got over 1,800 prophecies in the Bible, and guess what? We've seen them coming to pass exactly when, exactly where, exactly how, perfectly, without exception, over the years, haven't we? And it's still happening even today. In our lifetime, we've seen Scripture fulfilled. Well, we're seeing it fulfilled right now. You mentioned 2 Timothy chapter 3. What is happening today could not be any clearer than that. It could not be any clearer. We see Romans 1, what is happening today could not be any clearer than that. And so we're going to see the rest of it. We've got a whole lot of the book of Revelation to be fulfilled, and it will be fulfilled exactly when, exactly where, exactly how God says without fail, whether you like it or not, right?
Oh, that's for sure.
And so, I mean, here you have people say, well, I don't choose to believe that. Is that going to affect God in any way, the fact that they don't choose to believe what his word says? Is that going to change in any way the outcome?
Sure it isn't.
So tell the folks again, because people are calling wanting to know again how to get your book. They want to know if there's a phone number to call, how to order your books.
Yeah, they can go on the website, which is GradyPublications.com. Sometimes older people, I'm 70 years old, November. If they're older and they don't mess around with the computer, I can give you the phone number that's on the website, my personal number. That's 865, which is Tennessee area code, 865-216-3483, 865-216-3483. If they're computer savvy, even it's a very simple website, Grady Publications. They can order this book for $24.95 and $5 free. $30 it'll go out within a day or two of ordering it, and plus the other five books are there as well, and all of them are able to be viewed, and when the descriptions are there.
All right, you should give me all five so we can go through these books here. And get them out there. This book here, Perilous Times, Deep Truth for Shallow Waters, is very, very timely. It's right on the money. It's you know, again, here, Joe and I, years ago, were in a number of stations in New York, and Bloomberg bought the stations up just to get us off. And one of my heroes was on that station with us. And, you know, you talked about John Birch. Well, Noah Hutchins, you know, Noah Hutchins was, he was caught smuggling Bibles into China.
I've spoken for him, been interviewed by him over the years. He was a great man.
Yeah, well, he was a very good friend of mine for years, for over 40 years. I've spoken at a number of his conferences there. And, Noah and I were very, very good friends. And he was one of my heroes because he was on the radio for 62 years. Noah did radio for 62 years. So, pardon?
Yeah, he was something else. You know, you mentioned New York. I grew up in New York City, in Manhattan. Cardinal Francis Spellman, the most famous Roman Catholic in the history of this country, called his office the Little Vatican during the Cold War years. He signed my great diploma in 1966. Ushered by Catholic nuns in Upper East Side of Manhattan. But, you know, the thing I wanted to say to encourage you, Brother Sanders, is I was working for BOAC, or it was British Airways at that time. I went to work for BOAC out of Park Avenue, 25 Park Avenue in 1972. Those cash registers, the Gilbert, I just went to work for airlines. Went to the Philadelphia airport. I'm driving through traffic in Philadelphia, and I picked up a preacher on the radio, WVCH Radio in Chester, Pennsylvania. And it was a preacher, I didn't know it, but he was the pastor of Clarence Larkin's home church, the Marcus Hook Baptist Church in Linwood, Pennsylvania, one of the oldest Baptist churches in Philadelphia. I got to listening to him at 8:45 in the morning on the radio, just driving to the airport to open the office. And I came under deep conviction from the very beginning and listened for 4 months. And to make a long story short, I visited the church twice. And the second time I visited, I was saved. But I was drawn in from a radio broadcast. You never know who you're reading out there in, you know, in the fog world, as it appears. And it's an old hymn. You've probably heard it. I heard it first over the radio.
And, yeah.
You know, it'll encourage you for what you're doing.
I remember he was...
I pastored a church in Michigan, Brother Sanders, you know, a second church. You know, my first church was in Idaho. My second church was in Michigan. And would you believe those dingbat men I had in my church? They wouldn't accept my testimony because I was driving a Toyota at the time. General Motors.
Yeah, I would imagine. So, C.R. Larkin, he would say... Little prayer, little power. A lot of prayer, a lot of power. Oh, there was
power.
Yeah. No prayer, no power. That's what he would go. A little prayer, a little power. A lot of prayer, a lot of power. No prayer, no power. That was one of his famous sayings, wasn't it?
Yes, it was. I have a photograph of his church where he was baptized. He was an Episcopalian. Somebody said that's a Catholic who flunked Latin, Episcopalian. He was saved at 19 under some Episcopalian influence. But when he was 30-something years old, I think 33, he got under conviction that he needed to be immersed. And so he joined the Marcus Hook Baptist Church in Linwood, Pennsylvania, and was baptized in 1874. I was saved in that same church and baptized in 1974, a century to the year, you know.
Well.
And I have a picture of the church as it was in 1974. Both churches, two pictures. I mean, the Lord connects dots, does he, in wonderful ways.
Absolutely, absolutely does. And so here, you know, again, the times we're living in, I wanted to say again, Lord's willing, I will be this coming Thursday, because people keep asking me again, and I'll give that it's Mulligan's Restaurant. The address is 4118 Belden Village Street Northwest. And that's going to be, it starts at 6:30 if you want to order food. And then the regular program, I believe, starts at 7:30. So, again, the theme is going to be, where do we go from here? Where do we go from here? And so we're going to be talking about a lot of that because there are a lot of people, again, out there today are very fearful. I mean, there's very fearful. They're worried and because they see all of this. We live in a society that's gone totally lawless, totally lawless. And I'm going to be talking about what God's Word, the Bible, actually teaches about how to deal with a totally lawless society that we're in here today. Because, again, most people have got...
That's great. They need that now in the worst way.
Yeah,
right after Paul finishes 20 negative signs, starting with perilous times, and 20 signs of what to look for.
Yep.
Verse 13 says, evil... And you know these passages. Verse 13 says, evil men shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But the very next verse tells you the last thing you're to do is throw in the towel, because the next verse says, but continue thou in the things which thou hast heard of me. That's what we've got to continue. The negative side is we're the terminal generation. The rapture generation will be the only generation since the Philadelphia church age opened up that cannot turn the whole country back around. You know, they called them great awakenings when there was revival, you know, in the Philadelphia age, as you know. When you get into the end of the Laodicean age, they go into a deep sleep, a REM sleep, and you don't wake them up. The time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. So my mother committed suicide when I was 11 years old, and people commit suicide because they lose hope. Scripture tells you hope deferred makes the heart sick. Where there is no vision, the people perish. So Christian soldiers that are in the terminal rapture generation, we're the only folks that have to go forward without the awareness that we can't turn the thing around if it's the last day. The last days, it drops. That's the concept of the rapture. It's a tow truck. If it's not broke, don't fix it. When the church runs out of gas, God takes it out of there. It's a very strange way to look at the rapture, but it's pretty scriptural.
Well, you know, the whole idea, Bill, is this. Look, this is the time that we run to the battle. We run to the battle and place up crowns in heaven. I mean, and if you could get the message across to the people, one, you're going to die. I mean, you're going to die, and so get used to that. And once you die, just like the Word of God says, it's appointed to all men to die, and then the judgment. So don't be afraid of dying. Don't worry about that. It's going to come. Everybody you know is going to die. But here's the thing. Is the time for you to place up your crowns in heaven. Don't be like T.D. Jakes. He says he wants his stuff here. Or Joel Osteen that says, it's here. Live the good life now. Do like the Lord Jesus said, put your treasures up in heaven, because heaven, eternity, is a long time, isn't it?
Well, like a black preacher said one time, you can't take it with you, but you can show sends it on ahead.
Yep, absolutely. He's right about that. And I used to laugh at some of those those name and claim of prosperity preachers, and there was one and I'm having one of my senior moments, but he used to always say, and you'll know this, that not everybody can live sumptuously. Not every can drive a Rolls Royce, but I'll do it, not for me, I'll do it for you. You send me in that money. What was it he would say that?
Reverend Lake.
That was it. That was it. Yeah, that was one of his sayings.
Some people says that money's the root of all evil. I says the lack of money's the root of all evil.
Yeah. And he said something about he didn't want to hear the sounds of any coins hitting that plate. He wanted the paper dollars in there. And then people would, well, here's my money. Do it for me, Reverend. Do it for me. You know, I would sit there and just say, you know, there's one born every minute. Who used to say that? There's one. Oh. Unbelievable. And you know what? Joel Osteen figured that one out, didn't he?
You know, he was buried about P.T. Barnum's tombstone, Penny Cross.
No kidding.
Right? Tom Thumb and P.T. Barnum are kind of like side by side, and she's just a little ways away. You know, Blessed Assurance, Jesus is mine. I think she did what she could. I think it says on her tombstone. I've been there. Just a tiny little stone, you know, right next to P.T. Barnum, Ryan Alpus.
Well,
the world's not going to get it, are they, preacher?
No, they're not. You know, one time, the first time I ever went to Arlington, it was a snowy day, and there was snow, and I was walking, and you couldn't really tell where some of the gravestones was, and then there was one where I stood there, and it was Audie Murphy. It was Audie Murphy's stone right there. Anyhow, you've got 4 minutes. Brother Grady, to give an invitation, can you tell them how they can avoid hell and how they can get to heaven in 4 minutes?
Yeah, I'll give it a real quick one. I was as strict a Roman Catholic as you could get, And I was taught the same thing any person in any religion is taught, ultimately, that it's merit that gets you to heaven. If you, you know, that one day we're going to be judged before God in a general judgment, right? Our good deeds versus our bad deeds. I mean, everybody believes something along that line until they get to the gospel. And the best verse to offset that whole apple cart is Galatians 2:21, when the Apostle Paul said, I do not frustrate the grace of God. And then he sets up a hypothetical case. He says, for if righteousness comes by the law, if you can get into heaven by the law of Moses, i.e. the Ten Commandments, i.e. moral good deed doing, right? If righteousness comes by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. He died for nothing. Why would God have had to send his son to the earth to die on a cross if our moral lifestyle could get us into heaven? It's bizarre. It's crazy. And then he says, over and over again, the key verses in the New Testament shoot down the idea that your good deeds get you to heaven. That's what you've got to think on. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Ephesians 2:8 and 9, Titus 3:5, not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saves us. 1 Timothy 1:9, God, who hath saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose. Galatians 2:16, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law, there shall no flesh be justified. I heard all of that, radio audience, just like you're listening to me now. I heard all of that driving in Philadelphia traffic. Mayor Frank Rizzo, I think, was mayor at that time, 1974. Okay, strict Roman Catholic. And I finally got interested to come to hear it in person. And the preacher laid out the scriptures for us in the church service. Romans 10:13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. He said, anybody want to be saved? Come up here in the front, like you see in these big crusades. I 600 people in the service. I left my seat with my wife. She was saved already. I was not. I went to the front. He asked me, what am I coming forward for? I said, whatever that being saved is, that's what I want. That was August the 25th, 1974, the day John Birch was murdered, same date. And he got a deacon that took me off to a side room, and he opened up the Bible verses and showed me the verses I kind of like this quoted to you. And they asked if I want to be saved, to tell the Lord I want to trust him. You know, you don't have to necessarily say a prayer. You're saved by faith. But I was too dumb to know that. I prayed a little prayer. And boy, did I walk out of that little room a different person. I put my trust in Jesus Christ that day. Dumped all my confidence in how good I thought I was. And I don't want to run over the 4 minutes, but that's as good as I can give in that split minute.
All right, very good, because we're out of time. There's no running over here. It's automated, so we get shut off. But thank you for being here, brother. And we, at this time, we got to say, as we do every night at this time, good night. God bless.
God bless.
And always, always, always keep
fighting
the fight.
Fight.
Thanks for listening to the Voice of the Christian Resistance. What's Right, What's Left, hosted by Pastor Ernie Sanders. To learn more about our ministry, please visit us online at www.wrwl.org. Please tune in next time for another edition of What's Right, What's Left.
The preceding program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.